Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Wednesday, April 13th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning, or Menace Morning. I don't know what it is. Menace in the Morning, Menace Morning. Doesn't matter. The fucking Menace. That's what it is. Savage mode. Going to have some interesting conversation today about the Big Ten expansion. Want to talk about what that would look like, what that might look like, and how... If in a different world, in a different, you know, we portaled to a different dimension and Kevin Warren's bitch ass was not in charge of the Big Ten and we had some real leadership, a guy that really knew what he was doing, what should the Big Ten do and what would the Big Ten do to keep up with the Joneses being the Southeastern Conference? That's the question and we will talk about it. I did want to mention, if you haven't checked it out yet, zone6.com. If you, I don't know how else to tell you, like there, and there's been several signups, so I don't want to sound like it's not going well, but if you know or are an athlete, a skilled athlete in football, if you have a nephew, a son, a cousin, a fucking someone you walk and run into at the mall that has a football t-shirt on and they play football, I'm telling you, this is this platform. It'll help them. Like it's worth every penny and it'll help them. It's zone6.com. So go check it out if you haven't yet. And appreciate everyone that's watching on YouTube. If you could comment down below the first school that you think the Big Ten would or should add, comment down below, hit subscribe, click the bell, like the video, whatever the fuck else. Mm-hmm. Any other buttons you can see down there, click all, of them. Click them all. Just right. Click them all.
On the Zone 6 front, send it to your local high school. Like maybe a coach there will use it.
Yeah, email a high school coach in the town you're from or whatever. That's a great call.
Mm-hmm. So do that. But Zach, a couple of things. You know, I've been looking at jobs every now and again, you know, seeing what the market is calling for given my situation. But I saw something I thought was just a throwaway fact, but then I started thinking about it more and more. The NFL has had 9 referees all retire in the last couple months. 9 of them. This feels like get them all 9 together and just do a crazy conspiracy tape. Just make up whatever shit. It'll go crazy. So there's now 11 full-time referee job positions open. So anybody in Menace Nation looking for a job, you can now go apply to be an NFL referee.
I think that we should make sure that at least one
Menace member,
one of the Menace armies gets a job as an NFL referee.
That'd be
insane. Where do I even go about getting that job?
Like, I have no clue where the posting's at. Legally, they are obligated to put out a posting to the public.
What I'm just saying, is that like, you know, a big time accounting firm where you like start in like petty cash department and you work your way up to being the CFO? Like, do you start as a high school ref and move up to the MAC?
I think you start as a high school ref.
I don't think so.
And then I think you go high school to college to pros.
No, it's not fucking. You're not a high school kid graduating. I don't believe that's how it works. But
high school referee. Well, I meant as a high school referee, not like a high school kid.
No, I know what you meant. A high school referee. I was saying it's not like being a kid where you graduate through those stages. A high school ref. I mean, you could obviously start in high school and move on, but I think you get into training in there's probably like a referee college. Like I know I'm friends with a Major League Baseball umpire, and I know that I mean he's never umped a high school game. He goes into these training programs and then became a minor league ump and just keeps working his way up through the pro system.
Bursted my bubble entirely. I thought everything was like from the ground up.
So you start in middle school and you referee those games. Dude. And if you do a good job, the high schools, they find you. And then if you're really good in high school, those college scouts, they'll get you. They'll find you and offer you.
Zach, Doc, I got a quick story, bro, before we get into the show. So in my city, it's the Wobble. It's West Akron Baseball League. and they started you off in like I League, and they say that the letters go backwards. And I was in my head as a little fan, it's like, okay, after I League is H League, after H League is G League. As a kid, I thought that Wobble went all the way up to the A, to the triple A, single A, double A, triple A, and then if you're really fucking good, you get to play for the Indians. And so I thought it went all the way up through, and like
the every single Wobble?
Year, yeah, from Wobble, because they did the letters, Zach, and every year after the season, they would let the championship team go out to, at the time, the Akron Arrows, which was our double A affiliate. So I'm like, oh, like, yo, like if I grind every day, like I want to go to school, like I can make my way all the way to double A baseball and play in my hometown and be a real hometown hero.
Through
and it wasn't until, yeah, it wasn't until later that I discovered that it stops at G League. And then you got to go somewhere else. Oh, yeah. Shout out Wobble. But Zach, man, I want to start off with this question. If you could add one team to the Big Ten right now, a realistic team or a dream team, who would you add to the Big Ten?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame right now.
Notre Dame for sure.
And I'm trying to have to go in packs of twos, right? Don't you have to do packs of twos?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to add two, and honestly, they should add more than that. But here's the problem with this whole expansion conversation, because when this came up in 2021, Gary Barta, who is the
commissioner,
not the commissioner, I don't know what he is.
He was the head chair of
the chairman of the Big Ten. Who the fuck knows? It's all bullshit, right? It's all nonsense. Like, who makes decisions? Gary Barta from Iowa, or is it Kevin Warren? Like, the commissioner or the president, chairman, the guy with the big penis? Like, who the fuck knows what it is? Like, it's just the bureaucracy and the corporate structure of everything is a joke. It's like, how about we just have a boss or a committee, one of two, and now we have a boss and a committee. So who's in charge, the boss or the committee?
Like, I don't know about football. We have a boss and a committee, and nobody knows about football.
No, and so Gary Barta said back in last just a year ago, and so all these conversations are funny. I'll read you the quote. We started to talk about, should we ever add any schools to the Big Ten Conference? He said, we certainly haven't said we never will, but in the short term, with all the things that would have to be included to join the conference, we didn't identify anybody as a conference that we would immediately go after that would fit. This is when Texas and Oklahoma were openly searching for a home. They didn't find any university that would fit. What?
Yeah, and you know,
here's the reason why.
Texas was open to coming to the Big Ten if it wasn't for Kevin Warren, just so you know.
They both were. Yeah. They both were open to coming. The Big Ten wasn't open to letting Oklahoma come. That's it.
Academic prowess.
Well, that is why. Yeah. But there's this thing called the AAU, which is the dumbest shit in the world. The Association of American Universities. And the Big Ten will never consider a school that is not a member of the AAU. And guess what? Oklahoma's not a member of the AAU. Now, I probably should have researched it just for the show, but I don't know what it takes to be a member. But I mean, there's tons of schools that are members of the AAU, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I look at Florida. Florida's a phenomenal, phenomenal academic school. I mean, better academic school than Ohio State. Up there, maybe not better, but up there with Michigan. I mean, a phenomenal academic school. They're not a member of the AAU, so you wouldn't take Florida? Like, what are we talking about? It's just the problem is ego. It's a lot like politics. It's just ego and fucking just, it is politics.
Yeah.
Sports politics. Like, why is Oklahoma not good enough? Because of academic prowess. What the fuck does Oklahoma's academics have to do with Northwestern?
Literally.
Nothing. I don't understand. Like, I don't understand the impact. Mm-hmm. It's because you want the Big Ten, where we have better academics than the SEC. Bitch, no one cares.
It's not for a spelling bee tournament. We're here to play football.
Like, who gives a shit? You think Northwestern gives a fuck if fucking West Virginia comes in with a bunch of rednecks? Nobody cares. Mm-mm. Northwestern's still going to have a ridiculously strong degree and reputation. Like, I don't understand the problem.
It's almost like they act like if you invite one of these other schools in, it will tarnish the academic prowess of the schools within the Big Ten. And like, it's foolish. It's stupid.
It's tomfoolery. It's what it is.
It's smart people being extremely, extremely stupid.
Well, it's extremely stupid.
What about USC? What about USC in the Big Ten?
So that's what I was getting at. So like, if the funny thing is, the AAU, it's mostly like really solid academic schools, but it, mm-hmm. just because you're in it doesn't mean you are one. And if you're not in it, it doesn't mean you aren't one, right?
It looks like there's only three hospital on campus is a part of, looks like it's one of the requirements.
Yeah. So, what the fuck does that have to do with like joining the Big Ten? But yeah. So there's only three SEC schools that are in it, and that's Texas A&M, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. So three really, really, really solid schools. The ACC only has four: North Carolina, Duke, Virginia, and Georgia Tech. All fucking stellar academic.
You know, Georgia Tech has the highest percentage of graduates that become millionaires in the entire country.
I think you've mentioned that like five times.
Yeah, I have. Well, you know, I'm from Georgia. I'm from Atlanta, and that's like it's always been Georgia Tech and Ohio State. Yeah. When I see that graphic, I'm like, man, what? You're telling me one out of every 10 graduates becomes a millionaire? Now, a lot of that, I mean, it's an expensive school to go to, so you got a little bit of money to even to kind of get active. But Georgia Tech up there, and obviously friend of the show, our Coach Daniels. So let me – but go ahead.
So those are the four in the ACC. And then the Pac-12 has nine in the AAU. That is, as you mentioned, USC, UCLA, Stanford, Cal, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Colorado, Utah. So there's a lot of potential Big Ten candidates out west in the AAU. So I think that honestly, if I could add two, it would 100% be USC and Notre Dame, because that would entice both of them to join, right? They have their own, you know, traditioned rivalry. It would give a West Coast presence to the Big Ten, which would be huge. Give an LA presence to the Big Ten, which they're not a huge college football market, but it's a massive market, right?
Right.
And when USC was good, that was a solid following, right? Mm-hmm. They're a lot like Miami fans, where when they're cooking, everybody's in, but when they're just okay, nobody gives a shit. So they're not the most passionate fan base, but I will tell you this much.
Well, it's because those cities double as basketball cities as well.
No doubt. And here's the other side of it, right? Probably the two biggest international brands in universities are Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like if you go anywhere, the following, the alumni base, I mean, Ohio State has the largest alumni base in the country. And if for you to, if you go anywhere in the world and shout OH, 99.9% of the time someone shouts back IO. And that is, I mean, we're talking internationally, never mind coast to coast, never mind the continental US, right? Notre Dame is a close second. There's not as many alumni, but it's certainly a coast to coast brand. You go to LA right now, there is thousands of Buckeyes and thousands of Golden Domers. So you add USC and you get it. If USC gets an Ohio State and Notre Dame matchup in LA year in, year out, like if they're playing every year, man, it would be huge. So if I could pick two teams, it would be those two teams. Then my third team would be Cincinnati. And then my fourth team, I think, would either, I don't know, probably Pitt.
West Virginia?
Maybe West Virginia.
Why wouldn't we nab up Cincinnati before they went to the Big 12? Like, what was the hang up there? I always thought that having Cincinnati in the Big 10 would have been great for them and great for Ohio.
Ohio State doesn't want that.
They don't want that.
No, they don't want that. Okay. Think about it. You don't want Cincinnati potentially becoming, I wouldn't even say an equal, but mm-hmm. like a thorn in your side.
Yeah, someone to take some of the top end recruits in the state
from away. From your home state. Ohio State blocked the shit out of that. Ohio State will never let that happen.
Okay. I was curious. I liked it for high school football because I think like the kids that are from Ohio that aren't quite good enough to play for Ohio State, I thought it would have been a great option to have them go to Cincinnati rather than where they usually end up, Michigan State, Michigan, Wisconsin.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Cincinnati's on the come up. So I think right now, I mean, I know right now Cincinnati's competing with Michigan State and on that level. Like it's no longer like, well, Michigan State offered, they're a better school. Like, no. Michigan State's not a better school. It's, you know, apples to apples. So let's go recruit and see where you fit.
And it's interesting when we talk about conferences. I think that location no longer really matters because it used to be all about regions and regional conferences. Yeah. But now with how easy it is to travel and the budget that's involved with these things, I think that getting West Coast teams would be absolutely incredible. And also, I think that would stop some of the noon kickoffs with Fox, because obviously you can't have a noon kickoff in L.A.
You can. They've done it, but you'd rather not. But yeah,
that would be a 9 a.m. game in L.A.
No, I know. I'm well aware. It's it'll be interesting to see, because although it is easy to travel, I mean, that's still a freaking trip. I mean, that is a long ass grueling trip for an entire football team to do for basically 36 hours. Like it's a tough turnaround. We played at Cal and it was hard. It was, I mean, we went out there early as shit, just to kind of get our bodies adjusted. Like it adds an element to the, not only the preparation and the performance.
Was that the Kenny Guyton game?
Oh yeah. Kenny G.
I love
Devin Smith should have scored like 4 touchdowns. But yeah, I'm all for it. Like I said, if I could add 2 teams, it'd be USC and Notre Dame. But it's going to be tough because unless you add some other West Coast teams, USC is traveling. That's the difference, right? USC is traveling 4 hours on a plane for every away game.
Yeah.
Right. Not just if you're Ohio State, it's 1 away game, right? Every other year. USC, it is 4 times every year that you're traveling all the way to the East Coast. So you got to bridge that. And don't get me wrong, you have some Western teams that are not as long, right? Like in Iowa or Nebraska, some of those teams, the states aren't as far away from California, but it's still a bitch. And they got
to
do it.
New meaning to Big Ten West.
Yeah, right. But I think that would be great. I think it would be great to add a USC. We should just rape and pillage the Pac-12. And then, you know what? Fuck it. Go for the ACC too. You want some academic prowess? Go get Virginia. Go get Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's the one.
Would you take Georgia Clemson? Tech,
fuck no. I mean, yes, for football, I definitely would. But I don't know. They don't fit the brand. You got to get Dabo's bitch ass out of there. He's not tough enough to live in the Big Ten. The ACC fits in perfectly, like Hawaiian shirts and no underwear, like free balling it. Like that's what Dabo is built for, right?
Yeah. But Georgia Tech, I think Georgia Tech's a sleeping giant. I talked to you about that a while ago.
I've said it for fucking ever. Yeah. Atlanta? What are we talking about? Like, I mean, you can't sell Atlanta. And I think they just made a mistake. They hired fucking George O'Leary and ran the triple option for whatever, a decade. And now it's going to take them forever to rebound and rebuild.
2 years. Zach, they were a top 10 team running that triple option. Like,
what is that about?
I'm just saying, like that's, they were able to still get talent in the Atlanta area with the tough academic standards, and they were on a triple option. They were able to be a top 10 team. I think
that's because George O'Leary was phenomenal at what he did. And it's just like the high school, like Hilliard Davidson High School here in Ohio that won the state championship. Like, it wasn't talent. Like, don't get me wrong, they had good players, like decent players, but Georgia Tech didn't have talent.
They were able to get some of those Atlanta kids, man. Like, they were able to get
them. No, they
weren't. Yes, they were.
They recruited quarterbacks and told them they were going to be the triple option quarterback, and they recruited like 10 of them and then moved them all to different positions. But how many NFL players did Georgia Tech have outside of Calvin Johnson?
Come on, man. Don't do that to me, man, because I'll start filing them off.
File them off.
Demaryius Thomas.
Yes.
Darren Waller.
That's 3.
DeAndre Smelter pre the ACL injury was going to be a good one.
What the fuck? Here we go. Now we're projecting stupid shit. Okay. Like I said, they didn't get talent. They had like randomly they would get a big time player, just like any college has. Bowling Green has NFL players too. Just so we're clear. It set the program back a decade. And if you can't see that, you're fucking blind. Georgia Tech running the triple option set the program back a decade. That's just reality of it. So it's going to be a long time until Georgia Tech can compete, but it is competitive in Atlanta, right? They should be able to compete in Atlanta, and it's going to take them a while to do it. Fortunately, they're in the worst conference in the fucking world, but they would be an awesome addition to the Big Ten because Atlanta is a huge market. And I think that if Georgia Tech could be relevant, they could be a monster nationally because where they are, and those people are passionate. It's a pro sports town, not town, monster city, but but I think they could really add a shitload of value. And I think there's very few people that wouldn't want to see Georgia Tech good. You know what I mean? Like, who doesn't with Atlanta, and like, who doesn't want Georgia Tech to be good other than Georgia fans, I guess.
I love Georgia Tech. I remember when they were beating Georgia every other year. I mean, when Ohio State won the national title, they were a top 8 team. I think they had that one loss to Florida State at the end of the year, but they were a really, really good team randomly. I think in 2 years they used to beat Clemson every year. That was.
But you got to think about it, right? Teams that play Navy or Army, like that week is a bitch.
yeah,
preparing for them. And not only is it hard to beat them, because that triple option is like fucking, it's deadly, because if you just have one guy step the wrong way one time, it might go for six. Like, it's so lethal. And you do that, but add in the fact that your players don't have to go serve in Iraq for 4 years when you're done, right? It's not mandatory. You're at Georgia Tech, you can get a slightly better cut of athlete. Like, Christ, nobody wanted to play Georgia Tech. Like, those out-of-conference phone calls, like, hey, Gene Smith, it's the AD from Georgia Tech. We're trying to schedule a future click. Hang up. Like, what? Fucking no. Am I scheduling an out-of-conference game with Georgia Tech running the triple option? Absolutely not.
And they would platoon in full offensive line units. So they would run the ball 50 times a game, and they would have stayed. They were so deep at offensive line. And I think when the new coach got in, he said, yeah, we had 9 running backs, or we had 10 running backs on scholarship and 0 tight ends. So it was just they just brought running back after running back, running back, and they would just hit you repeatedly. And every running back was so fresh. It was just definitely a weird time. And Dabo, it took them a while to get over that hill. And it wasn't until they started playing them early in the year to where they could start beating them. But enough about Georgia Tech. You know, it's an Ohio State podcast.
it is a national college football podcast,
Chris. Yes. Okay. Calm down.
But I do want to mention, Chris, no one's emailed me yet. And I know there's some degenerates out there. Who is going to Vegas for the draft? I'm trying to do this live show at a mini club. Who, and taking Chris? I mean, we're gonna vlog it and everything. It'll be on a YouTube channel. I mean, we might have to blur some nipples out or something. But who is going to Vegas, or who wants to go to Vegas?
I have no problem editing that up. I can edit.
Hey, Sapphire Gentlemen's Club. What's the website? SapphireLasVegas.com or text 702-869-0003. They have $75 includes a buffet and a 1 hour open bar. Like, you can get $75 worth from an open bar in an hour. Christ, I could spend I could spend $200 at a bar in an hour. Like, what are we talking about? But it's sick. It has all kinds of huge ass flats, 3 100-inch HD screens. And on top of that, after the draft, T.O.'s coming in. Mm-hmm. An after party with T.O. and titties. Come on, man. Who's coming with me?
Say less.
Listen, I just need to know that someone is going to be out there, because they want to have a live show. They want us to do a live show from the Gentlemen's Club, either pre-draft or during the draft. And I want to fucking do it. I want my company to pay for it, and I want to go out there and do it. But I need one of you to tell me you're going. So, anyways, go check out SapphireLasVegas.com one way or the other. But shoot me an email if you're going or want to go, and let's plan it. Let's plan this, man. I want to do it. What do we got? Ah, damn, 2 weeks. We got to get it done. Come on. Email me, please.
Okay, moving forward on the recruiting side for Ohio State, we landed the Fletcher kid, obviously. I mean, you knew about that way, way in advance. One running back is in, and I firmly believe that this is going to lead to a train of South Florida Express. I think that that Tate and Ennis are going to be the next two in. One of the things I think is interesting is the belief around Tate is that Tennessee's getting involved with some big, big NIL deals. I know that there's numbers floating around between $2 and $4 million in 3 years there, which I thought was interesting to see. And then I turned around, scrolled down a little bit. You know what I saw, Zach? I saw your guy, Scary Terry, sign a 4-year deal for $105 million.
My fucking guy. About time, too. Well deserved. And there's nothing better than a great human being that has worked his ass off get rewarded. There's nothing better. Because I've seen several that don't. I've seen guys that honestly didn't work that hard. No, not bad people, but just not, you know, not salt
being,
in the
elite,
earth.
Being an elite person makes you different.
Right. It does. And too many times I've seen guys like that not get what they deserve. And in the end, they do, right? It's in some other way, form or fashion. Maybe they start a company or whatever. They're successful in the end, but you just want them to have that success at what they're most passionate about, which is football. And so it's just such an amazing thing to see. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, there's no one in the world. I mean, not just, there's other people too, but I'm saying, like, Terry deserves every cent of that. He really does. And good for him. Mm-hmm. But talking about South Florida Express. So that was my... Shout out to my guy, Terry. Well, Larry, as we call him. I never called him that, but all his boys called him Larry.
It's just interesting because you see the numbers that Tennessee is kind of trying to float at the Tate kid to get him to commit to Ohio State, or Tennessee, excuse me, as a wide receiver. And it's like, the best recruiting tool, I think, for Ohio State is the fact that receivers are now getting paid because the Jaguars broke the market. And Ohio State, I expect in the next 5 years, them to put out more first-round receivers than any other school. So I expect Tate Innes to be kind of the next two in. And then I wanted to ask you about underclassmen, Zach, because the Dylan Raiola kid from Arizona received a crystal ball to go to Ohio State. He's the number one player in 2024. How soon did you as a coach feel comfortable with taking a kid that was only a sophomore?
Well, he's got to be a no-brainer. He's got to be like that kid. He's got to be the number one player at his position. You have to be out absolutely fucking like out of this world. Like Julian Fleming was one, right? When I've started recruiting him as a freshman, and I want to make sure I'm clear. I use that term loosely. Like I talked to him every week and went and saw him, and he came and visited, but I'm not trying to take any credit with recruiting him. Brian Hartline recruited him, but I would have taken his commitment just because he was that phenomenal at that age. And you knew he was going to be good enough to be at Ohio State. He might not be he might not be the best receiver in the country. He might not be, you know, a generational player, but you knew at 14, 15 years old, that kid's good enough to play at Ohio State, right? He's good enough that we will want him his senior year.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of my criteria. Now quarterback's different, right?
Quarterback's super interesting.
Well, for two reasons, right? One is that's your whole program. I mean, that is the keys to the castle. Like it is everything. Yeah. And so you have to get the right one. You look at Trevor Lawrence in comparison with other number one quarterbacks in the country, right? You look at, you know, just look around the landscape at the Jimmy Clausens of the world. If you pick the wrong one, it'll set you back. I mean, far. I mean, look at Clemson right now.
3 years.
Coming off the heels of Trevor Lawrence, they picked DJ Uiagalelei. And how's it going? How's it going? Either you pick the wrong one or you can't develop or coach him worth a shit. Right. And that's just the reality of it. Or you got the wrong one. Maybe you didn't pick the wrong one. You couldn't beat Ohio State for CJ Stroud. You couldn't beat Alabama for Bryce Young. So you took the next best option in DJ Uiagalelei, and you don't have a quarterback coach that's worth a flying fuck. So the kid is just an average player. What is it? Brandon Streeter. Like, what are we talking about?
He keeps getting promoted, man.
Yeah, he keeps getting promoted, but the shit he puts on tape is dog shit. Seen that before. Look at Ed Warner's career. I guess he's at FAU now, so it's not going as well. But still, I mean, there's thousands of coaches that would kill to be at FAU.
Dylan kid, I think, is interesting. He's number one player in the country for 2024.
Right. So that's the thing, right? But here's the other side of it, Chris. So that's the most important thing is you got to make sure he's your guy. Mm-hmm. And I haven't watched the kids' tape. Maybe I probably should. But number one player in the country, like you said, that's important. But the other side of it is this. Those quarterback chips, they fall and they fall fast. And when they fall, you can't be left with your dick in your hand looking around like, damn, we didn't get one. Like you, there's no time to waste. You better, if you have a chance to get a good one, you better fucking nab them. Because if you don't, well, watch that kid committed to Ohio State. Watch these chips start falling because both sides, the schools are like, oh shit. Oh shit. What if we get left out? And then the kids are like, damn. I can't go to Ohio State now. They already got their guy. What if Alabama does that? And then so they want to jump to commit. It just fucking lights a fire and it's going to be like dominoes falling. It's always hilarious to watch.
Recruiting quarterbacks, what I found from kind of the outside looking in, it feels like musical chairs. Every chair is decorated a little bit differently. As soon as that music stops and someone goes for that first chair, you don't have time to say, well, maybe that chair will look prettier if I sandpaper it down a little bit. Maybe that chair will look a little bit different. Like you have to go, or else, with all due respect, you end up with Stephen Collier. Like that's what happened with that Ohio State class. It was a game of musical chairs. We couldn't get Deshaun Watson. We lost that battle, and we ended up with someone who quite frankly wasn't good enough to play at Ohio State. And so with the Dylan kid, he's the number one player in the country, number one quarterback in the country. When he commits, I don't know when he will commit. When he commits, whether it be to Ohio State or someone else, all of a sudden, the class of 2024, that quarterback position will dry up very, very quickly. We saw it in 2023. Like, we have yet to get a quarterback this year. We missed out on some of the early guys. Obviously, there were some classifications and things got weird. We don't have a quarterback in this class. But when we get one at 24, things are going to move very, very quick. And with Dylan, I think it's interesting. He was here for student appreciation. week, and he's got to see all the SFE kids. I know that that was important to him. Ryan Day and Corey Dennis have had a full court press on him. Guess where he's going to be at Saturday, Zach?
Where's that?
He's at the spring game. Yeah. He's going to be back at the spring game. That's a West Coast kid coming two times very quickly in 2 weeks. When you see that, Zach, do you think commitment coming soon, or do you think
done? He's already committed. He's already silently committed. He will announce his commitment whenever the fuck he wants to announce it. Like, that kid is coming to Ohio State. You don't take two trips in the same quarter to a school. Even if it's fucking USC, even if you live in LA and it's you, like if you live in Columbus, you probably don't, you might go to Ohio State twice, but if you live in Cincinnati, that, I don't know, man, 2 hours. I was just up there. Like, why you make that long ass trip twice in the same period, in the same, like what quarter I call it, like the spring or winter or whatever. Like, no, that kid's already committed. Guaranteed. He's already committed and he will announce it probably after the spring game.
All right, done deal. We weren't supposed to break that, but here we are.
Well, I'm not saying anyone told me that.
I'm just fucking with you.
Don't mistaken this for me breaking some news or like
no, we're
I'm letting the cat out of the bag for the kid. Like, you, I've told stories. I fucking hate that. I hate when media does that. I'm just telling you what it probably is.
Based on
experience.
I'm fucking with you, and I'm trying to avoid this Danny Clark stuff off to the side. what did coaches think of crystal balls? Like, what did you think of a crystal ball coming in? Did that ever like pique your interest immediately, or was that just kind of reaffirming what a kid already told you?
No, I mean, it depends on who did it, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's guys like Jeremy Birmingham. I don't know if he puts in crystal balls, but
not anymore since he's now with Letterman Row.
But yeah, so when guys that you know are connected or have good sources, when they put it in, you take it to heart. Like I talk about Steve Wilfong, like as
Fong bomb.
As big of a clown as I think he is, he does have good sources. And so when he crystal balls someone, it's like, oh, that's probably what's happening. Like, because he's just higher up in the company and has made those connections, and obviously he's good at something. He's not good at evaluating fucking dick. Well, he might be good at evaluating dick. I mean, he's not good at evaluating football players. I don't know about dick, but he's obviously really good at making those connections and networking. So when guys like that crystal ball someone, you take notice. Or when a bunch of people do it all at once, it's like everybody got some you know, some down low on the hang low. And, so it depends who does it, but yeah, coaches pay attention to it. You have to, listen, in recruiting, you pay attention to everything. Even if you think it's fucking stupid, like just like all these, the NTFC or whatever it's called, the five-star challenge camp. You're like, I know damn well that these numbers are fudged. They're not real. I know this camp sucks. The drills suck. The one-on-ones are all fucking over the place, but I'm still going to watch because it's recruiting. You pay attention to everything, everything. So yeah, they definitely pay attention to crystal balls.
What about when a kid kind of takes a while to commit? Because one of the concerns with Tate is that all the crystal balls came in. You know, there's a rumor that he was a silent commit, and that rumor was like 4 or 5 months ago, and now it just feels like he's waiting and waiting and waiting. Does that raise concern as a coach, or do you just kind of chalk it up to the kids waiting for the right time?
Well, it depends on the coach. Like if you're a really good recruiter and a confident in your ability to read people, it doesn't fucking matter. If you're Urban Meyer and panic about fucking everything, then it matters. Like Nick Bosa is the greatest example, right? Urban Meyer absolutely wore me out, wore Larry Johnson out, and wore Joey Bosa out fucking daily about when Nick Bosa was going to commit. And I'm like, I go down there to visit the kid, and I talk to him. I talk to George Smith, the absolute fucking legend and goat at St. Thomas Aquinas. I talk to Roger Harriott, who's a fucking awesome coach too. I talked, and they're like, Coach, like, he's coming to Ohio State. What is all with all the questions? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Urban's just all fucking over me. And they're like, Coach, like, we don't even pull him out of class for any other schools. Like, he talks to no one. He visits with no one. You're the only school he talks to. And I would tell Urban that, like, the kid just doesn't want to commit yet. Like, he's just not ready to. He doesn't want to announce it or whatever the fucking reason is. Who gives a shit? Like, his older brother is a great player for us. His brother said he's coming. I'm telling you, from being in the school, he's coming. Larry Johnson, who's recruiting him because it's his position, is telling you he's coming. But Urban just can't fucking stand a kid not committing right away. And so it depends on the coach. For me, I didn't give a fuck if Nick Bosa committed on National Signing Day. Who gives a shit? He's coming to Ohio State. I knew he was. There's no way anyone
in
that school was going to fuck me or Urban. There's no way. Well, never mind. There's no way.
Yo.
There's no way that Nick Bosa wasn't. And like Joey said, I asked Joey one time, I was like, hey, is Urban wearing you out? Is Coach Meyer wearing you out? And he was like, oh my God, every day. And I was like, but Nick's coming here, right? And he was like, where else would he go? Like, you think he's not going to come here and play for Larry Johnson or for Coach Johnson? And I was like, that's what I thought. He was like, there's nowhere else, no other coach in the world that he would go play for. He's absolutely coming here. And I was like, okay, that's what I thought, but Urban's starting to make me doubt it. So, my opinion is if you do a good job recruiting, you have a great relationship, that kid's like, you should know what it is. And if that kid wants to wait or whatever, like, let him fucking wait. It does give other schools time to change his mind, I guess. But my thing is this, like, what is a commitment nowadays? Nothing.
They're gonna recruit him anyway. they're gonna recruit him anyway. Zach, I did want to ask you this: of all the schools in college football, what other school has as compelling of a case to bring in a guy on offense than Ohio State? Is there anybody? Like, is there any, like, who has a better quarterback pitch than Ohio State right now?
A better quarterback pitch?
Like, who has a better wide receiver pitch than Ohio State right now?
Yeah, nobody. I mean, this is the dream for an offensive coach. Not only because you're that good on offense, but I mean, you're selling platinum. You're not selling like 14 karat gold. You're selling fucking, I don't know what, vibranium or fucking like.
You're selling oil at this point.
You're selling absolutely rare metal, and you're not selling run of the mill metal. So no one really right now can even compete. And as we mentioned before, that really started with Dwayne Haskins. He started the entire thing. It's a hell of a time to be a great recruiter, because you are selling fucking Maseratis. Like, you're selling the absolute best of the best of the best, right? Rolls Royces. Like, you're not selling fucking BMWs. You are selling big time shit. And so it's really easy to sell that.
Zach, that's all I got for today.
That is all I got too, Chris. I did want to remind everyone though that the Jim Knowles defensive breakdown, unfortunately, is copyright claimed on YouTube. So we had to put it on Patreon only. So if you're interested, jump on patreon.com/menace of sports. It's like a 15-minute breakdown of what the fuck Jim Knowles does on defense, and not from some clown that wants to tell you that he's a Leo three down Joker fire or whatever the fuck they say. I'll break it down for you and give you the real shit. So go on Patreon. It's on there. It's a private video because YouTube sucks. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. They're going to demonetize this. Love you, YouTube. Love you. All right. Menace out.